We learned a lot of things this week, and we talked about one of the Bible characters we talked about was Paul. And, you know, few Bible stories are as thrilling as Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. Through the power of Christ, a man who had been hated, he was hate-filled in his heart, and he was really a villain when it came to the Christians, but he became a love-filled hero after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And, you know, he surrendered himself completely to Jesus. And Paul was able to spread the gospel throughout the known world. He became one of the greatest missionaries that we read about. You know, the story of Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus is told in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 19. And it's retold again by Paul in Acts chapter 22, chapter 22, 6 through 21, and also again, and he talks about it in Acts 26, 12 through 18. And very important, Paul tells his testimony, and I would want to tell you today that your testimony is important. What you tell people about the experience that you've had with Jesus is important. People listen when they see you're a different person. And Paul could tell that because he was a different person. Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee in Jerusalem after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he swore really to wipe out all of the new Christian church. They called them the Way. And Acts chapter 9, verse 1 says that Paul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. We know that he was present during the time where they stoned Stephen. And he cheered them on as he stood there. Saul obtained letters from the high priest authorizing him to arrest any followers of Jesus in the city of Damascus. He hated them. He hated what they were doing to what he believed. Saul was blinded. But here, let me step back. On the road to Damascus, Saul and his company of soldiers were struck down by a blinding light, and Saul heard a voice say, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" When Saul asked who was speaking, the voice replied, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Saul was blinded, and his companions led him to Damascus to a man named Judas on the straight street. For 3 days, Saul was blind and didn't eat or drink anything. Meanwhile, Jesus appeared in a vision to a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and he told him to go to Saul. Ananias was afraid because he knew Saul's reputation as a merciless persecutor of the Christian church. He had heard about what Paul was doing, and he was afraid. I think many of us would be afraid, too, to go confront somebody like Saul at that time. Jesus repeated his command, explaining that Saul was his chosen instrument to deliver the gospel to the Gentiles, their kings, and the people of Israel. So Ananias found Saul at Judas's house praying for help. Ananias laid his hands on Saul, telling him Jesus had sent him to restore his sight and that Saul might be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says that something like scales fell from his eyes and he could see again, and he arose and was baptized into the Christian faith, and Saul ate and regained his strength, and he stayed in Damascus with the disciples. And after his conversion, Saul changed his name to Paul. And Saul of Tarsus possessed the perfect qualifications to be an evangelist. You know, he was versed in the Jewish culture and language, and his upbringing in Tarsus made him familiar with the Greek language and culture, and his training in the Jewish theology helped him connect the Old Testament with the gospel, and as a skilled tent maker, he could support himself, which he did. He worked to support himself. You know, I want to say that this is why it's so important that we read the Old Testament along with the New Testament. When we're sharing the gospel, it's connected all together, and it's important that we know it all. It's important that we read and we study. It's important that we pray. It's important that we fast, as Paul did as he waited. Paul's life-changing experience on the Damascus Road led his baptism to baptism and instruction in the Christian faith. He became the most determined of the apostles, suffering brutal physical pain, persecution, and finally martyrdom. He revealed his secret of enduring a lifetime of hardships for the gospel in one scripture that kind of summed it all up. And it was our first day in Bible school. It was our memory verse for the first day. Does anybody remember what that memory verse was on the first day? Kids, you guys remember? What was it? Philippians 4:13. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Philippians 4:13 says this, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul knew that it didn't matter now. He said all he needed was Christ, and that all things he could do as long as he had Christ with him. You know, when God brings a person to faith in Jesus Christ, He already knows how He wants to use that person in service to His kingdom. Sometimes people are slow to understand God's plan and may even resist it. How many of you resisted when God's asked you to do something? Man, I'm one of them right here. Paul talks about that later on in the Scriptures when he says, you know, I was the worst of all sinners. He says, I was all that stuff. But then he met God. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and it changed everything. Man, I'm telling you, when you have an experience with God, it changes everything in your life. Many of you here have had that experience with Christ sometime in your life, and that's why you're here today. Because God changed your life, and you've never been the same again. Amen?
Amen.
That's something to be to shout about. That's something that you would want to share with everyone that you meet. It is not I, it is Christ who gives me strength. Paul's conversion showed that Jesus himself wanted the gospel message to go to the Gentiles, ending any argument from the early Jewish Christians that the gospel was only for the Jews. The men with Saul did not see the risen Jesus, but Saul did. You know, there's a lot of people in your life that are even close to you sometimes when you come to Christ, and they don't see the Jesus that you see. It doesn't make it easy. But let me tell you, when Jesus comes into your life, it changes you, doesn't it?
Amen.
It changes you. The scales falling from Paul's eyes symbolize a spiritual transformation that allowed him to see the truth. And once he knew the truth about Jesus, there was no going back. Amen?
Amen.
I know there's a guy right here that can testify to that. Amen?
Church, best thing that ever happened to me. I'd rather leave
Amen.
It has been so wonderful.
Amen.
I walk the streets every day, and I ask God to guide me and use me, and He does. I witness a lot of people that come to church. Some of them talk to me nice, some of them don't. But I just tell them what a wonderful, wonderful place our church is. And God's coming back one of these days, and He says He's coming after the church, and I want to be here and go to heaven. So it's the best thing that ever happened in my whole life is my church, and I love all you people.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. That's something to celebrate. That is something to celebrate because Jesus still is in the business of transforming people's lives. It didn't stop 20 years ago. It didn't stop 2,000 years ago. It happens every day. Jesus transforms somebody's life. Man, such a wonderful testimony. Such a wonderful testimony. Saul witnessed the risen Christ, which fulfilled the qualifications of an apostle in Acts 1, 21-22. Only those who had seen the risen Christ could testify to His resurrection. What we can learn from Paul's experience is this. In a moment of fear and enlightenment and regret, Saul understood that Jesus was the true Messiah and that he, Saul, had helped murder and imprison innocent people. Despite his previous beliefs as a Pharisee, he now knew the truth about God and was obligated to obey Him. Let me tell you, Paul's conversion proves that God can call and transform anyone that He chooses. Amen? He can call you, and even the most hard-hearted people, just as Paul was, even a murderer, even a thief upon a cross, God can call you and convert you and transform you in just 5 seconds. We also see that Jesus did not distinguish between His church and His followers and Himself. Jesus told Saul that he had been persecuting him. Let me tell you this. Anyone who persecutes a Christian or the Christian church is persecuting Christ Himself. Christ lives within us. We are the church. We are the temple of Jehovah God Almighty. Have you noticed that we also learn in this scripture that a person's past does not matter to Christ? Let me tell you that. A lot of people struggle with that in their life. Man, we've all made mistakes. We've all said things we didn't mean. We've all done things we didn't... Well, I won't say we didn't mean to do them, but we did them. But Christ says that doesn't matter. He is more interested in a person's future more so than his past. And even though Saul had been one of Jesus' cruelest enemies, he became one of His closest friends. And God, for His forgiveness is full and it's final. Have you ever noticed that God often chooses the most unlikely people to accomplish His will? The Scriptures are full of that, aren't they? Over and over in the Bible, God picked flawed men and women to help carry out His plan of salvation. And that tells us that the power comes from God and God alone. And it's that God uses anybody. I mean, I talked here a while back. I mean, He made a donkey talk. I mean, come on. Surely He can use me. When God calls a person, He equips that person for it too. You know, sometimes you can say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't even know how to pray. And He says, don't worry about that. He said, the Holy Spirit will take care of that. Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. The Holy Spirit will pray for you. He'll deliver the message. He'll take all your messed up stuff and He'll make it right. Paul received the Holy Spirit and along with the truth of the gospel so he could share it with others. Let me tell you, when we get saved, that should be our number one priority, is to share the gospel with others.
Amen.
You know, many scriptures talk about we don't light a candle and hide it under a bush, do we? When we receive the light, when we receive the gospel, we want to share it with everyone. We want everyone to see it. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. Paul could not have achieved any of this. He couldn't have achieved any of this without the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. That's why, you know, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that we should seek the Holy Spirit's provision in our life. The same Jesus who rose from the dead and transformed Paul, let me tell you this, wants to transform you today. He wants to work in your life too. And what could Jesus do through you this morning? What could Jesus do through you if you were to surrender as Paul did and you gave Him complete control of your life? I want you to think about that. Maybe God will call you to work like Ananias, who was willing to just pray for Paul. Or maybe you can be like Judas, not Judas who betrayed Jesus, but another Judas, who was willing to open up his house and let Paul stay there because God asked him to. Maybe you can be like Paul and reach the multitudes for Christ. I believe that there are people all over the world right now that God is using, just like the ones we read about in the Bible. And there are those who He is wanting to use for a special way, special purpose, if they'll just listen to His call. And that may be you here this morning. That may be you. That could be you this morning. That could be you tomorrow. That could be you next week or next year. The question is, will you listen to Him? Will you listen to Him when He calls? So I want to leave you with that question in your heart and in your mind. Is God calling you today? And if He is, will you listen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for all that You've done this week, Lord, in the lives of these young kids, Lord, and in many of the adults too. I've enjoyed this so much this week. Lord, we've had great moments, Lord. Lord, help us to experience You more every day. But Lord, open up our ears that we may hear Your voice. Lord, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. And as we leave here today, Lord, we don't leave You here. We take You wherever we go. And You walk with us and You guide and direct us in all that we do. But Lord, most of all, help us to bring others to You. Lord, let your image show through us. Lord, help us today. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.